Namaste and shalom. The God in me greets the God in you, and I wish you peace. Today, I want to talk to you about opportunity. Many of our forefathers came to this country because they thought it was the land of opportunity, that the streets were paved with gold. But in fact, in just coming to a new place and start all over again, they used an opportunity. Because what is opportunity? It's a choice. And we have choices to make every single day. Each one of us has a different life, and therefore we have different choices. But God gives us the opportunity to choose, and those choices affect the life we ultimately live. In line with that thought, my grandparents and my dad and his brother and sister had a pretty good life in Germany until Hitler rose in power and my grandfather saw the handwriting on the wall. They arranged to leave Germany fairly early in the 1930s before concentration camps arose and they were able to be sponsored by relatives who had already come to the US. My father, about 20 at the time, and my uncle, a year younger, traveled across Germany to get on a ship to the US. And in those days, Jewish people traveling across Germany would stay with other Jewish families, I believe, until they got to their destination. They were just housed. I mean, that's the way things were. Very different from today. And my grandparents and aunt followed about a year later. My father spoke fairly good English at the time. The rest of the family, not so much. It took real courage to take that looming political problem and turn it into an opportunity for a new life. My grandfather in Germany was a landowner and a cattle rancher. Now, don't think like cattle ranches like we have in the US. I mean, it was much smaller scale. It wasn't giant, giant land. But nevertheless, he raised cattle and he was an abattoir. He butchered them and sold them. So when he came to the US, he became a butcher. My father, in a different life, could have been an engineer because he was really, really smart guy. But he didn't have the opportunity to go to college because of our good friend, Mr. Hitler. So he became a window display man and used his artistic skills instead of his mental abilities. He made a decent living, but he worked very, very hard to provide for his family. Now, my belief system depends heavily on the quotation that God helps those who help themselves. I don't get direct messages like Chris or Carolyn or Barbara. I also find it difficult to let go and let God, like Sally. I'm a doer, so I like to go out and do stuff. Now I've found through the years that if I make a choice and God wanted me to make, the doing is relatively effortless. But if I go out on a limb and try to buck the tide, I can maybe get there, but the trip is much more difficult. And let me explain it another way. Suppose I'm traveling on a path that's paved and well-lit and easy to pursue. And that's God's way. But if I choose to take a shortcut and wander off the path into the briars and cactus and trees, I really have to work to get there. Maybe I'll wind up in the same place, but I will have had to work much harder. Now, that's my view of things. It may not be the way you see them, and that's okay. Now, there's a joke on the internet that goes something like this. Joe is praying regularly to God to have him win the lottery, and every week, Joe doesn't win. And this goes on for a while, and finally, God says to Joe, "Hey, work with me here, Joe. Buy a lottery ticket." God helps those who help themselves. But I've been buying a lottery ticket and I haven't won one penny. I guess that's not my path. Opportunities arise in many ways. About 40 years ago, I was in classes in the Spiritual Science Center of New Jersey. And the last part of the class was meditation. At the conclusion of the meditation, my friend Peggy came over to me and said, "I see something going on in your body. You need to make an appointment with your gynecologist." Now, Peggy was a marvelous medium, very, very psychic. So when she told me this, my immediate choice was to make an appointment with my doctor. She provided the opportunity, I chose to listen. My doctor sent me for a mammogram to provide a baseline for the future. I was fairly young then. And when the mammogram came back, there were microcalcifications on it. I don't know if you know what those are. I had never heard of them. But they're little growths in the breast that are usually not cancerous, but they recommended cleaning them out. So I went to a surgeon in a nearby town on my doctor's recommendation, and he scheduled a lumpectomy. And when I came out of anesthesia, I was told that the pathologist had seen one cancerous cell. My husband says that wasn't a cell, it was a mass, but it was, to me it was, they said it was smaller than a lentil. So to me, that's a cell. So it was on one of the slides. I never knew who that pathologist was, but I have often thanked God that he was alert and doing his job. When we went to see the surgeon the following week, he'd set up another surgery to remove lymph nodes and other stuff, but I was reluctant to go ahead with all that. I wanted another opinion. He wanted to send me to a doctor who was a friend of his in a nearby town, but I chose to find a doctor at Sloan Kettering Memorial Center in New York. This was another interesting story, but how I found that doctor. But this can be held at another time because it's not relevant to the main thing here. Anyway, the new doctor was a young, skinny redhead who really knew her stuff. She also wanted to do another lumpectomy, but her reasoning was different. Since the cancerous cell was found by accident, it was on the edge of the slide, and she wanted to check to assure that there was no more in there past that edge of that slide. So since it was intraductal, that is, it was contained in one of the milk ducts, she didn't think it was necessary to take any lymph nodes, as unless there was more in there, it had not spread. So I chose to do that surgery, and at the conclusion, there was no more there. It turned out that it was at the edge of the slide. I had another surgery prior to it, and it was in there was no more there. Now came the big choice. She recommended radiation therapy to be sure that there was no more cancer in the breast. Now, since she told me there wasn't any more in there, I didn't see why I had to have radiation therapy. But my husband, Carrie, didn't see it that way, and neither did my kids. So I allowed them to make the choice. Sometimes it's easier to go with the flow than to fight everybody else. Maybe that's what God wanted me to do, but anyway, I did it. Radiation therapy is certainly not as invasive as chemotherapy, and I was able to go to my job and work during the course of the process. I had to cut out my evening activities to a large part, and I felt tired some of the time, but basically it wasn't particularly onerous. Now, I know that's not the case for everybody who goes through radiation therapy, and I'm not implying that it is, but it was relatively easy for me. Yes, I had burn marks on my breast. I used aloe to heal me and things like that, but it was not particularly difficult. In fact, I felt kind of funny. I would walk into the room to go get my therapy, and all these people were sitting there, and they looked like they were getting ready to die, and I'd kind of go bopping in and feel like I'm a fake, you know, but I needed it. They just couldn't tell that I needed it because I was pretty with it. Okay, so to bring this all together, God gave Peggy the opportunity to bring me to the doctor. The microcalcifications led to the cancer, and all of that led to good health. Where would I be today without that opportunity? I continue with checkups and such, but there's not been a return of the cancer, thank you, God. And that was a long time ago. Now, there are many paths of opportunity offered. I mean, not just critical things like that, but what do you do with your time? There are classes offered by the Temple, by Oley at the U of A, by Pima Community College, and other organizations. I've been teaching classes in Kabbalah for many years. Near here is the literacy organization, where you can volunteer your time to teach reading to those who missed out on it, or to teach English as a second language to newcomers to the United States. All kinds of organizations are looking for volunteers: hospitals, schools, fundraising organizations for medical issues and children's issues. And there are docents needed at the zoo, at the Desert Museum, and Tohono O'Chul. A friend of mine is a docent at the zoo, and she gets to feed giraffes as part of her responsibilities. I think that's so cool. She gets to feed giraffes. My husband, Kerry, was a ham radio operator and used this hobby to help charity organizations with bike rides, walkathons, and other like events. He was the lead coordinator for communications for El Tour de Tucson. That means he contacted other people, ham radio guys, to help on the particular day. I say guys, but it was women too. Assigned them to work in at various booths or places that were needed, and made sure that all went well. He had a group of over 100 people to contact and to manage and to rearrange as things happened. People got sick, people went in the hospital, people died, people whatever. And then he had to reassign to cover those places. But he did that. These are just some opportunities to serve, to learn, to grow, to help. So when something goes wrong in your life, instead of bemoaning it and feeling sad, look for the opportunity to make a change and find a better path. The loss of a job, while appearing devastating, could be a new beginning. I once went to a job interview and was devastated because I didn't get that job. My ego took a hit. But a few days later, a much better opportunity arose that actually opened a career path for a great future. Well, because I lost that job. I want you to shift your relationship with the future. Stop waiting for the perfect moment. Stop waiting for luck to strike. Build your skills so you're ready when the phone rings. Change your perspective so you can see the possibilities hidden inside your current frustrations. And most importantly, have the courage to act when the window opens. Now, there's something called the hierarchy of needs that was first put together by a psychologist named Maslow. He said that the most basic human needs were physiological: air, water, food, sleep, sex, and the like. The second need was safety, the security of home and family. And when that need is met, the next one is love, belonging, groups, clubs, and the like. The next level is esteem, which is not only self-esteem, but recognition by others. And only when that need is met can we go on to self-actualization, which is the desire to become more and be whatever one is capable of being. In other words, you can't begin to save the world if you're hungry and don't know where your next meal is coming from. I've always liked this model because the assumptions that Maslow made are much in line with my own beliefs. Man is basically good. He is trustworthy, self-protecting, and self-governing. Yes, there are those who choose evil or self-destruction, but those are not the norm. In conclusion, God gives us lots of opportunity. We have to find our path and try to stay on it, however that may be for each of us. Choose the best and the highest. Have a goal. Plan to get there and then execute that plan. When things go awry, find a new path of opportunity. Listen to that little voice within and try to do good things for yourself and others. Amen.